The Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. Now you can save on a luxurious Cadillac and get more peace of mind at Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon with their like-new certified pre-owned Cadillacs. All certified pre-owned Cadillacs are inspected, reconditioned, and warrantied. Right now, get special financing and pay thousands less than new car prices. Visit EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. Remember, backed by Morse, that's their price protection promise. See dealer for all the details. And at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, want to save money on a new Cadillac? Make sure it's backed by Morse. Our good friend Brian Danahy, general manager at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, Ira and I love to go see him. Right now, not only can you lease a 2018 ATS sedan for just $279 a month, zero down, if you find a lower price on a new Cadillac, we'll match it or refund you $500. That's the price protection promise from Ed Morse. Rush to Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher, or visit EdMorseCadillacTampa.com. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Happy Tuesday, April 10th, 16 days from the draft on the Ira Kaufman Podcast. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper is here. And the star of the show, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, is in the house, Mr. Ira Kaufman. Of course, Ira, we're presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. We just heard all those great offers. We're excited about that. We know that everyone's going to go to EdMorseCadillacTampa.com and EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com right now. They can pause the podcast, head over there, right, Ira? Do their thing, get some live chat help. Check out the pre-owned selection, all the new Cadillacs, the lease offers, EdMorseCadillacTampa.com and EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. Now, Ira, before we go any further, in our pre-production meeting, which lasts about 42 seconds, here at Joe Bucks Fan World Headquarters, also known as the Park, where there's no homeless people today, you said, I want to issue a clarification. I need a clarification on something in the draft. Denzel Ward, I need to talk about that, so go ahead.
You know, I might have given the impression that Denzel Ward's the second coming of Darrell Revis, whatever you want to call Revis. I mispronounced him for the first 3 months, and then that's all right.
He joined the club. I called him Darrell, too.
There you go. Just like, you know, if Arthur Blank can call me Irv, I can call him Darrell. Yeah, that's the way I look at it.
Irv, I mean, Blank's a billionaire.
Here's my clarification, Lee. It's simple. If the big three are off the board, I would rather have Denzel Ward than one of the safeties. I think cornerback is a crying need, unless the two safeties, I'm talking about Fitzpatrick and James, mm-hmm. are clearly rated way above, you know, Ward. Now, if Nelson's still there and Ward's still there, I want Nelson. I think Nelson's going to have a 10-year career. He's going to be fantastic. People tell me, you know, he's better than the guard on Zach Martin. That's enough for me. Zach Martin's a hell of a player. He's going to make 6 Pro Bowls before he's done. This guy's going to make 8. So I just want to get that clarified that I'm not taking Denzel Ward over Quentin Nelson. I know you've been up and down on Nelson, but you're starting to think that the Bucs might be leaning that way a little bit.
Well, I've been saying since Combine, my impression is if he's available, they're going to draft him. I would not. Big if. We'll find out in a couple
weeks. I've been reading some conflicting things about Ward, Steve, to be honest. Now, he's got fantastic speed. I think just for sheer speed, he's faster than Marcus Lattimore, who was his teammate, you know, 2 years ago, and had a tremendous rookie year for the Saints and really helped them because the Saints turned around their defense. You know, they went from last to middle of the pack. That's what Buck fans are looking for. Bucks are not going to have a top 5 defense. Get in the middle of the pack this year, and then we move on from there.
Get where you can see the pack.
Yeah, see the pack.
You know, 20th in the league would be unbelievable.
But
that's how sad it is.
Corner is such a yawning need. It is such a yawning
need.
Yawning.
Yawning. Like, not.
And let's not forget that Grimes, as good as he is, and great a teammate, and this and that, he still missed 2 or 3 games last year. And that's not usual for Grimes. And he's not getting any younger. So he might miss another 3 or 4 games. And when that happens, you know, now you're scraping the bottom of the barrel right now.
Undefeated. Now, I just want to make sure people understand. I asked you, and you reinforced. You
this
used
about
the word
Bette Midler.
No, yawning.
Oh, yawning.
You don't mean boring. You don't mean falling asleep.
That's right. I mean wide.
Okay, very good. I just want to make sure. Just wanted
why? Why does the Colorado River?
Clarification, as you would say.
All right. Well, at least you didn't say something more naughty.
Why does that bald spot that you got going over there, Isbitz?
All right, Sage. Your clarification is complete. So now you got that off your chest.
By the way,
you're unburdened.
By the way, can I throw something out to the listeners? May I?
Depends what you're throwing.
You can throw anything you want.
All right. I have a recommendation. while they're listening to our podcast,
what bar?
Our riveting podcast, I believe they should play a little Allman Brothers in the background. I'm recommending Whipping Post, because if anybody's tied to the Whipping Post, it's Jason Light at corner and running back. He's tied to the Whipping Post.
Ooh.
And a little Allman Brothers goes a long way, you know, with Dwayne in there. You know, that's the classic lineup before Dwayne wrecked that motorcycle. It's one of the great losses in rock history. Dwayne Allman dead at 24. It's right up there with Buddy Holly. You know, Jim Morrison was the shell of himself in that bathtub in Paris. You can relate to that, Steve. But I still go back to Dwayne Allman. You know, my wife and I went through Macon, Georgia a few years ago, and I made a detour, and I went to the cemetery, Rose Hill Cemetery, where Dwayne Allman and Barry Oakley, who was the bass player, they died in crashes a year apart. 1 year apart, they're buried right next to each other. I had to go look on some tattered sheet at the front of the cemetery. It was a Sunday. There was nobody around. I had to find out where they're buried. It's a
who's
big cemetery. The two Allman brothers.
Oh, they didn't make it, huh?
And we found it. Now, there's gates around it, but I climbed over that gate. I was spry back then. I admit it. I shed a tear over right. Sky Dog. Back to the Buccaneers.
No, I
got to
ask him.
You got a question?
Yeah, you mentioned Buddy Holly. Just so our listeners don't know, you know, we're not. Most of our listeners haven't served in Korea.
That's the day that the date of music died. 1959.
You're not referring to Lauren Holly.
See, it's always back to Kay Adams and Colleen Wolf and Lauren Holly.
All right, Steve,
you make it.
I know I'm going to regret this. I really am. But I have to ask: how did you find out where the Allman Brothers Cemetery was? How does that happen?
Google, my friend. Waze. There's ways to do it.
So
you
it's put, open
you
for
punch in the cemetery, and there it is.
It's open for visitation, or you
free cemetery. You know, one day you might be in there, Isbeth. You never know.
Free cemetery.
You too. But I had to find where the.
Well, that's a cool
were.
Story.
So what'd you do there? Did you hum a few bars? You put a stone down? What
well,
did you do there?
I didn't have a cassette deck. I had no CDs or anything, so I couldn't play Statesboro Blues. You know, which is what I was feeling. I don't know. There's something about Dwayne Allman. I think if I went back and if there's one guy that I would have liked to have met that I never will, Dwayne Allman's close to being top of that
wow.
list.
Wow. Well, I got a quick
you know,
one.
Right ahead of Colleen Wolf. Right ahead of Colleen
Wolf. I got a quick, very similar story. I won't mention the guy's name because he probably didn't expect this to be on a public forum. But when the Bucks were playing the Giants a couple years ago, I went with him. We walked up. You were with us. That was the comic. I always forget his name. That was the very same day that you ran into
Jackie Mason.
When you ran into Jackie Mason on 3rd Avenue.
I thought you were going to say Buddy Hackett. Oh, go ahead.
But
well,
Buddy
he went
Hackett
to my high school. Buddy Hackett went to my high school.
Did he? Did you know him?
New York High School. No, I believe he's a few years beyond me. Over
at
there.
Any well, that same that very same day, we walked up from Penn Avenue. You were with us, the original, until you ran into Jackie Mason.
Penn Station.
Walked up from Penn Station to Central Park, which is a hike. Walking up that way.
I can't believe you made it to Kemper.
And well, I made it back then. Now I couldn't. Anyway, and I'm not a Beatles guy, but this guy's a Beatles guy. Worships the Beatles. Well, obviously, John Lennon was gunned down
so
near
you went
Central
to Strawberry
Park.
Strawberry Fields.
Yeah, the monument there. Yeah. And it was very cemetery-like. People, I mean, it was very
there's always people
hushed.
Around there.
Yeah.
Always.
It was very, very hushed. You know, it was very solemn. You know, people paying their respects. It was like you're at a grave.
Like you're at a Bucks game. Oh, no, I'm sorry.
That, too.
But
it's like you're watching Mike Smith's defense with a minute to go, and Tyrod Taylor is the quarterback.
But
you know, that's the difference. Steve's worshiping, the grave of Elizabeth Taylor over there, and we're over
right,
there.
Ira, right, calm down.
I digress.
Lee's going to a public monument in the biggest park in the United States that's open for
I'm going
for
to Macon, Georgia.
He's in Macon, Georgia.
You're in Macon, Georgia, hopping fences.
What else am I going to do in Macon? You know, what else am I going to... There's an R&B museum there. Little Richard was born in Macon.
I'm sure there's got to be
Otis Redding.
A Golden Corral.
The worst name of any pro sports team is in Macon. I don't know if it still exists. They had a hockey team. It was like a minor league hockey team.
The Grizzlies? No.
Worse.
All right, what is it?
Whoopi.
The Macon Whoopi. Yeah, I think he's right. Now, can we get to the Bucks over here, Stephen? Can
all
we get to the Bucks a little
before
bit?
You start going to Wink Martindale's grave or something. All right. Listen, we're going to get right to the Bucks. However, Ira, fanretreat.com. Fanretreat.com. Right now, you can go there, your official home, for Buccaneers tickets, Lightning tickets, playoff tickets, your official JoeBucksFan.com home.
Use those elusive Rays tickets?
Yeah. you don't need Rays tickets. But they're there. Fanretreat.com. Tickets to all the events. You can see all of these bands, Ira, when they get back together.
Paul Simon's coming to Amalie Arena. James Taylor. They got some good shows coming in. They do. You can call me out. What's the matter? You never heard of Paul Simon?
You going to see Panic at the Disco?
When does he reunite with Larry Fine?
Oh, Jesus.
Anyway.
He's a classic, Paul Simon. He's a legend. Just like Vernon Hartley.
Okay, I'm going to give
you a legend.
Hold on.
FanRetreat.com. Use your JoeBucksFan.com discount code. JoeBucksFan, that's it. That's going to get you money off your Lightning tickets. Great selection. Playoff tickets are very hot right now. It's where you're going to go for Bucks tickets, but really all events, as we mentioned. Also hotels, flights, one-stop shop, FanRetreat.com. Ira, of course, they'll be hosting your fan retreat. We're about 10 days, 2 weeks. We'll say 2 weeks away from picking the date where fans can travel with you to a Bucks game. Much bigger and better than we were doing in Miami last year, which got hurricaned out.
Which was going to be heavily attended.
Yeah, we had 200-something reservations. Bigger and better fan retreat. That's where you're going to travel with to all the Bucks games this year. Can't wait for the app to come out soon, the redesigned website. But it's still right there for you, fanretreat.com. Everything you need. Joe Bucks fans, the discount code. We might need to make an Ira discount code, right? Discount Ira.
I think we need
a code. Go tell the guy.
Ira.
Get a beet salad, you get $10 off. By the way, people can't believe I spent $16 for that beet salad. Steve, we were at the Ritz-Carlton in Orlando. What do you think you're going to get? A $4 steak?
Exactly.
I mean, come on.
Not going to corral.
You know what they wanted, by the way, for valet parking?
Which I
wangled out of.
$37.50.
I wangled out of it. I said, I'm from Joe Bucks fan. They said, keep moving.
You mentioned Paul Simon. There's a great line related to Tampa Bay sports.
Oh, I can't wait for this.
The late, great Chris Thomas. I miss him dearly. Sports radio in the area has never been the same since he passed. Well, anyway, remember Julio Lugo, second baseman for the Rays?
Yes.
Rays really awful. And once upon a time, if I remember correctly, when he was playing, he's either playing for Milwaukee or at Milwaukee, and he got popped in an unfortunate situation with an underage female.
Oh.
Well, Chris Thomas, this is when he's playing for the Rays. Chris Thomas went on a rant about Julio Lugo for some reason or another, and he referred to him in the rant as Julio down by the schoolyard.
You know, that's cruel, but it's funny. Speaking of cruel and funny, let's talk about the Bucks a little bit.
All right,
Steven.
All right. I need your sage wisdom. I think the good people need your sage wisdom on this. Keep it simple. Jameis Winston, he's playing with his social media. He's on Twitter. You know, he doesn't tweet a lot, but he probably pays attention a good share in the offseason, like most people do. And there he is retweeting a Tampa Bay Times analysis of DeSean Jackson's shortcomings and the Buccaneers' failures with DeSean Jackson in 2017. He retweets it and simply says, I will personally make sure that the value of DeSean Jackson is known to the Bucs, shown, and the NFL world will see it. Something like that. Now, I didn't like that, Ira, but what's your thought?
You know, it actually might reinforce something that you guys have been saying for a couple of weeks that I've been thinking about, and I think it's got some credence. Some. You guys have talked about for months Dirk Cutter's postseason comments regarding DeSean Jackson and how he was open all the time and he didn't do anything wrong and he did everything we expected him to do and we didn't get him the ball. And, you know, you guys interpreted that saying, I think Cutter's playing to a fragile psyche on DeSean Jackson. And here comes Jameis Winston, who's very quick. I don't think an hour went by before Winston saw that story and that tweet before he replied to it. And what's his reply? We're going to take care of DeSean Jackson. Don't you worry about a thing.
He says, I will take care. I will personally take care.
Lee, they got so many weapons right now. I'm not sure that's a great thing for this offense where all of a sudden you're going to focus on taking care of one guy. Spread the ball around, and defenses are going to have a heck of a time trying to match up with all these weapons. Don't put yourself in a box, Lee, before the season even starts.
Imagine the riches the Bucks could have if somehow or another Barkley falls to them. Good grief.
On paper, that is a hellacious offense.
Potentially, yes.
Yes.
Then Jameis has no excuses. Zero. And I'm Jameis' biggest defender. That doesn't work in radio. And even I would have to. There's the line of demarcation right there. You have no excuses now. You got Barkley. You got DeSean Jackson. You got Evans.
What about Jameis Lee saying to basically a direct message to DeSean Jackson? Don't worry about it, number 10. We're going to take care of you.
Don't know how to take that, honestly. On face value, I'm like you. It's concerning because he said the same thing about Mike Evans to make sure Mike Evans got 1,000 yards last year. And that wasn't the greatest. I mean, mission accomplished, but it wasn't good for the offense.
They got to get this offense moving. They not just DeSean Jackson moving. They got to get this offense.
And that's
moving.
On Dirk Cutter. That's on Dirk Cutter.
Well, there's only one football, right? So if they have a good running back this year, they're going to run the ball a lot more. You got O.J. Howard. You got Cameron Brate, who you're paying. You got
Godwin's
Mike Evans.
Coming on.
Mike Evans leads the league in targets. You got Godwin, who should be on the field more often, getting the ball because he's dangerous. So I just don't want my quarterback giving a crap about who has how many balls. That eventually leads to problems. Just play the game in front of you.
However, Steve, having said that and agree, I still take some shots downfield to DeSean Jackson. I think you have to do that. Loosen up that defense. Make them think twice about trying to constrict the field.
Of course.
And most importantly, hit a few or draw some flags. Well, throw the ball close enough to draw some flags.
Sure. Now, I think, and I'm willing to lay cash here that you're going to argue with me, because you've mentioned this before, but this recent hysteria about DeSean Jackson and Jameis Winston, when I say recent, just started up since the owners' meetings when Cutter was asked about it again. To me, this is being overlooked or ignored, one of the two. Jameis has no problem hitting Mike Evans, has no problem hitting Godwin, has no problem hitting Brate, has no problem hitting Howard. Adam Humphries, no problem. Only problem he's got is DeSean Jackson. What am I missing?
Yeah.
That's the only guy he's got problems with. What am I missing?
Well,
why is that being ignored or overlooked?
I agree with you, except I would say that he does have problems hitting Mike Evans deep. He doesn't throw deep balls to Mike Evans, really. He's not throwing the 50-50 balls anymore to Mike Evans. I've rewatched all the games now. At this point, the 50-50 ball to Mike Evans just isn't there anymore for some reason. Or it's not being executed well. I don't know. I think if you really start to get into rewatching this stuff, there's some issues with a deep ball. I don't know why.
I think Cutter's frustrated about it.
I think so.
I think he's frustrated.
And what's weird is he never had that issue in Florida State.
Steve,
I think his mechanics got monkeyed with.
The fact is, you know, if we stick to facts, not fake news.
Yeah.
The facts is, this is the first time in the career of DeSean Jackson, which is 10 years old in the NFL, that he didn't catch a single pass 50 yards or more.
Wow.
That's a fact. Mm. And why should it happen with supposedly a strong-armed quarterback who was hurt for part of the season and surrounded by a lot of weapons that teams, you know, couldn't double and triple team DeSean Jackson when you got Mike Evans sitting there and Brayton O.J. Howard and whatever. That should never have happened. That should never have happened that DeSean Jackson does not catch one deep ball, Steve, in 16 games. And he didn't get injured. DeSean Jackson didn't get injured.
He did. He was injured. He closed on injured reserve. But still, the damage was done. I'm glad you brought up the word facts versus fake news.
There you go.
I'm so pleased because it reminded me of something. I've been having some issues with some of our commenters on JoeBucksFan.com. I've been putting out some facts that they don't like.
Oh.
And it has to do with Jameis and the running game. Now, the popular notion is, oh, the Bucks had no running game. It's, you know, dreadful, blah, blah, blah. And, yes, they had a bad running game. But no,
for most of the season.
Right, but no running game is a big stretch. And Jameis, I'm going to throw this fact at you, and you tell me what you think of the fact. You spin it however your sage greatness wants to. You're looking lean, Ira. You dropped a few pounds. I was just going to leave with
something. Yeah, he's made my day over there at the Kemper. Meanwhile, I got a meatball sub waiting for me in about an hour.
All right, so here's a fact. The NFL, the average rushing output is 110 yards a game. That's average, a team. In five, Jameis completed 11 starts last year, started and finished 11 games. In five of those games, he had more than 110 yards. The running game was solid for five games out of 11. What do you make of that?
I make it that you're picking and choosing your stats over there, Isbeth, and it's not the first time.
Ouch.
Maybe they got 110 yards because Cutter ran the ball 32 times, and they averaged 3.6 yards.
No, they averaged they averaged very good in those games. They won three out of five of those games, and Doug Martin was just about a no-show in all of those games.
Yeah.
All right, so I could argue that in half of those Winston starts, they didn't run for 110 yards. I mean, six out of 11. Steve, the running game was a lot better when Doug Martin was out of the picture. There's no question about it. For whatever reason, Lee, and you've mentioned this several times, the running game was a lot better when some of the offensive linemen went down and were sidelined and the backups came in. Whatever reason,
It
was better. But I'll give you the bottom line on what needs to be better. The whole running game And I know you guys try to protect that offensive line. No. You don't want to hear about it, but
if they stunk, I would say it.
I'm telling you, for 8 or 10 weeks, I didn't see any holes. And then all of a sudden, I did see holes. Steve, they need a back. None of the three of us are arguing that point right now. I'm not going with Peyton Barber as my main guy. I'm going with Peyton Barber as part of the mix, and I'm bringing another guy in, and he's got to play a prominent role.
Well,
where am I wrong?
You're not, because Cutter actually opened up. He didn't say who, but he said they were in the running to land a big-time free agent at running back. He wouldn't say who.
Who do you think it was?
I mean, I'm guessing the guy from Minnesota. Who went to the Raiders, did he, or San Francisco?
Maybe I'll guess Deion.
Detroit.
Maybe I'll guess Deion Lewis from
Jarek McKinnon.
We don't know if it's Lewis or McKinnon or
Hyde.
Yeah,
that's just a guess.
We don't know.
We're just guessing.
Yeah, we're just guessing. Now, one thing, Ira, with the draft here upon us, 2 weeks, hard to believe, 2 weeks. One guy who I've brought up, and I'm curious to see what you think of the bias that it flows out there. There's a running back out of USC, Ronald Jones II, a 20-year-old kid. He's averaged more than – he played as a true freshman, averaged over 6 yards a carry, was used as a workhorse last year, over 6 yards a carry every season. Guy's got quickness. He showed he can run it between the tackles. Daniel Jeremiah calls him maybe the most explosive player in the draft among them.
Catch the ball.
But nobody talks about him.
Catch it.
Now, is that – he catches it. Yeah. Not big on his –
What's the knock on him?
He's gotten hurt, but he's grinded through. I don't know if there really is a big knock on him. He's 20 years old. He's been extremely productive. My point is, nobody talks about him locally, for the most part. Is that just because he's from California?
I think that's part of it. Lee, maybe his measurables, and I know we're going to talk about tape later, but as far as Jason Light's concerned, and I think rightfully so, I think Light speaks for almost every GM in the league. You know, you can have your interviews, you can have your combine. Lee, they always go back to the tape.
Have to.
And it served Light very well in the draft. You know, he's an A-minus drafter, Jason Light, 4 years. He misses some, but he's an A-minus drafter. And, you know, the Bucks have gathered up a core of young players, which they went 10 years without doing that.
Yeah.
You know, and that was a problem. Lee, I don't know much about this guy from Southern Cal, but if you're getting the ball for Southern Cal, right away, it tells you you're a pretty darn good athlete.
You would hope so, yeah.
You would hope so.
USC, yeah.
If he's around, they don't have a third-round pick. I don't like to wait till the fourth to get a running back. I think that's dangerous.
Yes.
I mean, you don't know if the guy you want is going to be on the board. You just don't know. So, you know, is he worth the second-round pick? I think that maybe that's going on. That's a question that's going on in the Buck war room right now.
I would hope the Bucks, like you said, do not wait past the second round. Since Chucky left the Bucks when he was jettisoned, the only time, well, with the exception of Blunt, who was a free agent, you know, they got him off the practice squad of Nashville. The only time they've had any kind of running back production, any kind, and not much, was Cadillac and Doug Martin, both first-round picks. After that, they've been garbage running backs, trash. So, you know, I would hope the Bucks look at their recent history drafting running backs, realize, you know what, we can't wait around. They waited around last year, used the excuse, oh, the running back class was so deep. Yeah, it was deep, all right. Look who they got.
Steve, that could be a perfect guy to showcase what I call a burning hole in Light's stomach, and I'm going to stick with it, not having that third-round pick. He sounds like, you know, a pretty good third-round pick. Mm-hmm. That's what he sounds like.
Well,
they don't have one.
He's considered a second-rounder. Across the board, they can second-round.
Well, this is a high second-round with the Bucks.
I got you.
You know,
I got you.
What are we talking about, the 39th pick, something like that?
Yep.
That's high. That might be the third running back off the board. I mean, it might be. Third,
maybe,
fourth, maybe.
Yeah.
And there's some other guys that I think Buck fans are more interested in.
Michael.
Because they didn't see this guy play. That's part of
it. I did, but
saying.
I'm a freak when it comes to college football. I'm up until 2 o'clock in the morning watching Pac-12 games.
All right, Ira, a bunch of Buccaneers fans recently, probably in the last 5 minutes, drove off the road.
About the Allman Brothers?
No, they chained themselves to firm objects so they didn't hurt themselves. You just said Jason Light is an A-minus drafter.
I did.
An A-minus drafter. So in 4 drafts, you're giving him an A-minus?
I believe I am. What's the matter? You can't miss a few?
A-minus?
Who doesn't miss a few? Who doesn't?
I didn't say A-. I just want to make sure you... A-minus.
Do I have to go over the picks, starting with Mike Evans? It's the first pick he ever made. Mike Evans. Not bad.
Excellent pick.
Well, 2015's a home run.
Home run draft.
That's 4 starters in 2015. Four. four starters. Who does that? 2016, we can skip over. We go right to 2016. you know, and Beckwith is looking sharp.
Sure.
You know, A-minus. What do you want to give him, a C? I mean, how tough you want to be over here?
I'm asking you, A-minus, that's bold. That's bold. How many starters did he get out of last year's draft? We're going to give him Godwin. We're going to give him Beckwith. We're going to give him
Evans.
Lee.
Three starters.
Lee, I'm giving him an A-minus.
Howard.
I mean, the jury's still out on all those
guys. What are you giving him? No, overall.
I would say B, but A-minus, we're in the same ballpark. Yeah, last year, what, four starters?
I'm asking you, Ira. You give him
Gets three or four starters out of a draft?
Let's go this way, Ira.
That's the second time he did it in 4 years.
Enough of your nonsense, Ira.
Oh!
2014, what grade do you give him on that draft?
Well, I'm trying to remember the picks after Evans.
Well, he's the only one left. He's the only one left in Tampa. Same regime. What do you give him in the draft?
B-minus.
One of these days, we're going to talk about the ASJ. One of these days.
Well,
maybe three, 4 years from now.
I said the guy stole money from the Bucks. Look at Steve.
B-minus. So A-plus for 2015.
Yes.
Okay, A-plus for 2015. What do you give him for 2016, Ira?
Anybody left?
C-minus?
Who's left?
Hargrave, Spence, Ryan Smith.
Yeah, now that's
what do you give him? D-plus?
C-minus.
C-minus. Okay. Aguayo?
C-minus.
C-minus. Okay.
Spence is incomplete.
I'll say this about Spence, and I'll say this about quote-unquote draft bust. I can never, ever call a guy who always gets hurt a bust. I don't know of one NFL player, with the possible exception of Myron Lewis, that wanted to be hurt.
Brought up Myron Lewis on my podcast?
I'm sorry, Guy.
Same podcast that's got Dwayne Allman in it? You got Myron Lewis.
I didn't mean to soil your podcast that way, but I will say that that's the only guy I've ever seen who you could make an argument wanted to be hurt. Outside of him, I've never, ever met an NFL player that wants to be hurt. Therefore, I cannot ever classify a guy that's always hurt as a bust.
Steve, you saying Noah Spence is a bust, Steve? I'm asking you directly. You saying bust?
And I'm saying
– Well, I look at it this way.
I think that's premature.
The team's – no, I don't – it's premature. The whole draft – it's premature, but I look at it as the teams invest millions and millions of dollars into medical history. That's a big part of the whole draft process. And if a team consistently drafts guys who get hurt, that's probably a problem in the system, not just bad luck.
Sure.
Well, so, Gerald McCoy tore his bicep
twice.
Each of his first 2 years.
And he was healthy in college.
And people thought he was injured.
Yeah, right. I can't go crystal ball like that. I really can't.
Yeah, Spence is incomplete.
All right, back to 2017.
All right, so let's see. We're 2014, B-minus, then A-plus, and C-minus. That averages to a B in my book,
Keep going.
Aaron.
Oh, you left out
last year. And then last year. So you love last year's draft enough to jack it up to an A-minus.
Another A.
All right. So there you go. A-minus by the sage.
Who's going
where's
crazy?
His contract?
Javier screaming?
Where's the contract extension?
Well,
where's your column that says re-sign this guy? A-minus drafter.
Well, this is more to GM than drafting, unfortunately for Jason Light. Now, with that A-minus, we're not going to go to free agency because I refuse to mark on a curve over here. And I still got Anthony Collins on my mind. I'm never going to forget that one.
All right, I just wanted you to clarify, Eric, because I know some people that freaked out.
I don't want Javier freaking out over there. Javier's on a busy street in Panama.
As far as I'm concerned, there's a, you know, like there's a BC and AD in time. Well, when it comes to Light, in my eyes, there's a BL and an AL, before Lovey, after Lovey. He was answering to Lovey. One of these days, the ASG story will come out. That's number one. Number two, at least I've been told it was right, and no one called me up and said it was wrong, that some scout in the Bucks draft room when they're going over drafts, was it Charles Sims I'm thinking of? Yeah, Charles Sims. This is the next Matt Forte. Lovey, it was done deal after that. Lovey, I got to have him. I got to have him. Meanwhile, they pass on Devontae Freeman.
Well, in 2015, Sims looked a little like Forte, but not since.
Yeah, and of course, Lovey was still there for the 2015 draft, so that becomes classic.
And Steve, I got to be fair. If I'm breaking down Light's draft, I got to be fair. Let's do away with any nonsense that the Glazers had much to do with Roberto Aguayo. Let's put that to bed.
Good place there, Ira. Of course, everybody heard
that the thumb was on the scale, that they told him to draft Aguayo. Come on.
We heard part one of your audio with Joel Glazer from the owners' meetings in full, part one. Part two's coming out this week. It'll be me and Lee talking to Mr. Glazer, and that comes up. And
thank you for using all four of my questions on part one.
You're the sage, Ira. Anyway, fans will get to hear Joel Glazer's adamant response when I asked him, were you involved in this Aguayo pick? Is essentially what
I
asked.
And he normally doesn't give unequivocal answers like that.
No.
Normally he does not.
No, it was a step out of the norm, so that was interesting. Now, two things, Ira, that are important. One, Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon, shop there. 70-plus years of Ed Morris quality. And the commish is now going to tell us about the savage draft party you'll be at in 2 weeks.
The 2018 Miller Lite Bucks Uncensored Draft Party is coming up fast, April 26th and 27th. It's a two-night event, but that first night, it's going to be wild. We've got a $20 all-you-can-eat buffet, 2,500-square-foot tent outside, a huge HD LED screen to show the draft, and a DJ pumping tunes all night to keep the party going all night long. We will have giveaways sporadically throughout the night and a major announcement. If you're a Bucks fan, you are going to want to be in attendance for this big announcement we will have that Thursday night. Again, two-night event. It's April 26th and 27th at the Buffalo Wild Wings in South Tampa off of Southdale Mabry. Join me, Justin Pulowski, the commish for the 2018 Miller Lite Bucks Uncensored Draft Party. And speak softly and carry that big mother boom, you dump a stick.
Pretty cool to hear from the commission, that passion, Ira, that $20 buffet. I know it's got your name all over it.
It's got tents going on, Steve. I mean, it's incredible what they got going. And there's the Kemper at One Buck Place having, dried up chicken and splitting it up with all his close friends over there at One Buck.
Well, that should be next year's question to Joel Glazer. What's with the chicken? Why are we getting...
Can't tell the story. It's free food for 3 days. Can't complain.
Can I tell the... It's inside baseball. It was funny in heck. A friend of ours, Ira maybe remembers, a friend of ours, she used to work for 620 at the time, Dory LeBlanc.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure what Dory's doing nowadays. She worked for a publication that covered the Bucks at one time. Then she worked for 620 and she covered the Bucks. Really cool person, Dory is. Anyway, for
That's a great name.
Dory
LeBlanc. I mean, that's classic.
As opposed to Pepe LeBlanc?
I can see that on a billboard, Steve. Dory LeBlanc. I mean, that's an actress.
Wasn't there a producer of Looney Tunes LeBlanc?
Possibly.
Yeah.
That was Mel Blanc.
Mel Blanc, I'm thinking. Yeah, the voices.
All right,
yeah.
So what are you saying
Pepe
about...
Pepe Le Pew, I was thinking of.
What are you saying about Dory?
Well, I don't know why she did this, but she decided to take to Twitter. Twitter was still in its sort of infancy at the time. Took to Twitter to complain that during training camp we had chicken, free chicken, like 12 days in a row. And at the time, the director of media relations was a gentleman by the name of Jonathan Grello. Great guy, but he was a loose cannon.
That's a whole other podcast.
He went bananas, not to use
a
food
it?
Reference.
He heard it.
He read it on Twitter, and he went bananas on Twitter, threatened to shut down the free food for all media people because we weren't thanking him and on our knees for the free chicken.
One of the few times I'm on Grella's side over there, Steve. Nothing stopping you from going to Panera Bread or Checkers or whatever and go get what you want. Don't complain about free food. Bucks don't have to do it, they do it. And they do it during training camp, too.
Man, did you turn serious when the food topic came down? I was like, wait a minute.
It's almost like you went to a cemetery in Macon, Georgia.
You gotta be fair to the people at One Buck.
Free food. We don't mess with free food. Don't mess with the free food gods, says the sage. All right, Ira.
You know, I can't wait for the schedule to come out, Steve. We're going to dig our teeth into it, and it's going to really impact fan retreat. It's going to really get the juices going.
It gets everybody going because it becomes real. The season becomes real again. I hope they open.
And we can dissect, Steve, the first month and stop going 1-3, and we're going to show how they won't go 1-3.
Yeah, we can't go 1-3. It just can't happen. Now, Ira, this is important. Lee wrote about this morning. I wrote about it late this morning as we tape this on Monday. Maurice Jones-Drew is out there on NFL Network saying the Bucks are his team this year. His team. I'm paraphrasing. Nate Burleson, he's on the Good Morning Football, big platform. He's saying they asked him to pick his number one bounce back player of the year, 2018. Mm-hmm. He goes on a 2.5-minute rant about Jameis Winston and gets into detail. And Burleson, of course, a receiver for 11 years. Explains that, this year two with DeSean Jackson and the lack of rhythm chemistry, that'll be fixed just on its own. That happens sometimes. And he goes on and on saying that healthy Jameis was all we need to see in a lot of ways. And now they got Ryan Jensen. Here we go. The national hype train is coming.
Here we go with the bandwagon, Lee.
What do you feel about the bandwagon, and do you think it's going to grow?
Well, Lee, this is the time of year that these pundits, and I use that in quotes, they're all looking for a 5-11 team. You know, that's going to make a jump. And they've been listening to Dirk Cutter tell them that they were 3-7 in close games, and we got a couple of tweaks here and there. And the next thing you know, we're 10-6. Now, Good Morning America, Good Morning
Football? Yeah, football. Which is a little bit better than Good Morning America.
They got a Jones for the Bucks. You know it, and I know it. All of them. Schrager's going
Kay
crazy.
Adams.
Yeah, Kay Adams. You might have a little influence there with your tweets. They might be listening to you over
there. They do.
So here comes Burleson, and look, what's not to expect Jameis Winston to bounce back from an injury-riddled campaign? Going into year four, you've already talked about the weapons. He's going to have a running back. It might not be Barkley, but he's going to have a running back. So why can't they average 25 points? If the Rams, with Jared Goff, before they made all these crazy moves, before last year's Rams led the league in scoring, 30 points, 30. The Bucs are 20.
Coaching, Ira.
Well,
coaching. Yeah, look what happened. They get rid of Fisher. The Rams get rid of Fisher.
Did Goff have better weapons than the Bucs last year?
Oh, of course
he had Sammy Watkins.
Who's
Sammy Watkins?
He also had Gurley.
Ira, come on. You voted for Gurley for MVP. You have a vote.
That's
a weapon.
Yeah, I did vote for him for MVP.
That's one guy. I know.
But, you know, he didn't have Brayton, O.J. Howard at that tight end. Anyway, to get back to the point, you're going to see this. It's going to be a trend. They're going to jump on the Buck bandwagon because that's what people do. You know, you pick a 5-11 team. Somebody's going to jump on the Jets. Look at the Jets. You know, they got Quentin Nelson, number 3, and they got a quarterback and this and that. They moved back to 7. They took Nelson. They got all these people. That's what people do right now. And look, the Bucs are, 2 years removed from a 9-7 season. So I don't think it's outlandish. I don't think it's crazy. But they got a lot to prove, Lee.
Here's a question for you. And now, one of the other stories that Steve referenced, Maurice Jones-Drew. Oh, I believe in him.
Hasn't he said some weirdo things, Maurice Jones-Drew, in the last few months? I can't remember.
Something that sticks out. Yeah, I didn't ring a bell offhand. But
didn't he pick the Rays to win the AL East?
No, what Maurice Jones-Drew actually said that was strange was that he didn't think Brent Grimes was coming back. Oh. And then I wrote it up, and Miko...
Oh, yeah, he said it got it from the horse's mouth. Yeah. This guy, Yeah.
Miko went Wrong after horse. Him on Twitter. And
that's right. That's what it was about.
And it was revealed that Maurice Jones-Drew didn't have any info. It was just
so he's 0 for 1, Lee.
Well,
he's 0 for 1.
The reason why, and I don't know, this is why I'm asking you. Maurice Jones-Drew, again, he picks the Bucks. That's his sleeper team.
And knows Cutter well.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Is he doing it because of loyalty to Cutter? Because, Cutter was his play caller at one time at Jacksonville.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he was a... That was a heck of a backfield, him and Fred Taylor. Outstanding backfield.
Ooh.
And, boy, Cutter would like to have a 1-2 punch like that in Tampa.
Just one of them, not just both, just one of them.
And he kind of had one in 2015. He had the 1-2 punch, and the Bucs gained 6,000 yards that year.
Here's one for you, and correct me if I'm wrong here. I'm wanting your response. I'm wanting your reaction. One of the reasons why you're all of a sudden the last few days, and good catch on Steve, I was going to use that video, and I forgot all about it, but Burleson. But at any rate, I think we've entered, at least for me, and I put this on Twitter yesterday, we've entered the period which I refer to as draft fatigue. What's been draft for over a month now, because, ever since the combine, and people are getting tapped out, including people who opine about the NFL for a living. They're tapped out, so they're reaching for stories. There's nothing else to talk about. Free agency's over with. Again, fatigue with the draft. Rosters are pretty much set until the draft comes. Is that an element?
I think it is an element. One thing I'll add to that in terms of the Bucks turning things around. Steve, you can twist stats around many times, as you've proven that on this podcast. But, I did a story about the Buck offense last week, a column saying, with the right moves in the draft, if things land the right way, and of course they do need defensive players, I know that, but they're not going to draft all defense. And if they get a couple offensive pieces – this could be a heck of an offense. You said it yourself, Lee.
Yes.
And, Steve, in doing some of the research, when people say, well...
I got to cut you
hold
off.
Hold on. You're not cutting anybody
cut me off.
This
I gotta
is my
cut
podcast.
This is insane.
It's his podcast.
First of all, you just insulted me. I let it go. But second of all, what do you mean? If they don't draft anybody If they don't draft anyone on offense, this could be a heck of an offense right now. They already moved the ball up and down the damn field. Just hit somebody in the red zone. If we don't even need to draft anybody. They should be top 10.
If the man would let me finish. I was about to say, in doing
podcast.
The research, I didn't realize, because people say, and even Cutter, we moved the ball between 20s. Well, he's right. He's damn right. I didn't know they had the second most first downs in the league behind New England. I didn't know that. I didn't know that yards per snap, which is not an insignificant number. Yards per snap, you're talking about 1,000 snaps. It's a big, subset. They were eighth in the league. That's not bad. They didn't convert the points. So, Steve, I was going to make your point before you rudely interrupted me. they moved the ball pretty darn well last year, but they didn't convert.
Yeah, until they got the red zone.
Now, that doesn't mean they're going to change that and get much better in the red zone. They got to prove that.
It's on Cutter. He's got to find a way. Him and Monken, they got to find a way.
It's on Jameis, too, a little bit. I mean, he's got he could change plays.
You're right,
the line.
Steve. You're right. We Jameis Winston's not innocent in this whole thing. He's
no.
not.
No,
he's got recognition, things he can do at the line of scrimmage. He's got options, and that's why this razor thin what separates some of these quarterbacks. It's the red zone stuff. It's the putting the points up. He's got to leapfrog out of that.
You're not going to beat the Saints and the Falcons specifically with field goals, Lee. You're not going to do that.
Proven last year. Bomb to Godwin. Boom. They beat the Saints. And, some guy on Twitter. People must have all kinds of beers on Sunday afternoons. The stuff I get on Twitter, Steve and I get, is like, where are you coming from? And they're changing the goal. They're moving the goalposts for their argument. And one of them was, the Bucs had nothing to play for last year against the Saints. Well, the Saints sure as hell did. They had home field advantage.
They did.
Yeah.
The Saints, and they didn't know they were going to back into it. The Saints, they needed to win that game.
Imagine if the Bucs lost that game.
Well, some Buc fans are happy because they would have had a higher draft pick.
Yeah.
But I'm not buying.
Now, here's...
I don't think the trade-off's worth it.
I think I can tell this story. I don't think I'm being out of line. Cutter's been very public in saying, when Jameis comes up to him and said, you dumb SOB, that was a terrible play. I saved your rear end because I changed the play. Jameis still has that mindset. He can make anything happen. And Cutter said, when he starts learning, and I've heard that before from other people with the Bucs, 2 years ago, when Jameis starts learning, this is a bad play call, I'm going to change it, then they'll have a quarterback.
That aggressiveness is part of the reason that made Winston so attractive.
Oh, sure.
But you got to harness it.
Yeah, it's called common sense sometimes. Yeah. Well, I relayed this story to Cutter. I was reading Paul Zimmerman's book, better known as Dr. Z, with Sports Illustrated for years. He's handicapped now. He's not writing any longer. He'll never write again.
He was a giant, an absolute giant.
Yeah, you're very influential.
In the field, yeah.
And he, in his memoirs, and I finished this a couple weeks ago, in his memoirs, he related the story that he went to Johnny Unitas' house, I guess, maybe 20 years after he retired. And they were sitting on the porch, and they're talking about quarterback in the NFL. And I relayed this to Cutter, that Johnny Unitas told Dr. Z, you're not an NFL quarterback until you can tell your coach to go to hell. And Cutter smiled and he said, he's right, which goes into
nice.
Jameis needs at times. Like, Dirk, that was a dumbass play call. I saved your pants. I changed it. But Jameis still has that mentality. He can complete anything.
All right, Sage.
In some ways, guys, this team's going to go as far as Jameis Winston takes him. I think that's still – it was true in his rookie year, and I still think it's true going into his fourth year.
I'm starting to think, in retrospect, I'm starting to think he was more dangerous his rookie year, dangerous in a good way, than
he is.
Well,
he had the play action. Play action. It was effective.
Steve, and he also ran the ball more. Who will ever forget? Who will ever forget that 19-yard run for a first down against
Atlanta? And we were saying, this guy came out of college with a reputation of being fairly immobile, and I think, what did he do, run for 6 touchdowns or something as a rookie? It was remarkable.
Yeah, I don't think it was that he was immobile, just his athleticism.
It was questioned.
In the NFL ranks of running quarterbacks. But we've seen that before. Quarterbacks, we saw that with Josh Freeman, who was a fantastic runner in his second year, was also great in the pocket, and then they freaked out. No, we can't let him get hurt.
You're absolutely right.
Josh. Don't run. You never know if they got in Jameis's head a little bit. All right, we're going to hit on a few things here, Ira. If you're still on the docket, look at this. The docket is growing.
Dead time. There's nothing going on, Steve.
Dead. Come on. Dead. Give me a break. Ira, your column, you explained that there's a gross situation, if you will. It's a pun. 144 days of nothing on the Winston investigation.
I'm the only one ripping the NFL every day about this. I mean, people forget it because it's not in the front burner. But I said it's a dark cloud hanging over Winston's helmet. That's what it is. It's a dark cloud. And finally, they're using the words frustrated, you know, which to me, that is very mild. You know, if you get them off the record or whatever, I think they'd use a lot. I say they're pissed. I said it in the column. They're not frustrated. They're pissed. How could they not be? This thing could come down in August. Hey, you're going to miss the first six games. I don't think that's going to happen, but it could. And I talk about the Elliott case, Lee. In the Elliott case, the investigator, the only one that talked to Ezekiel Elliott's accuser, she said, don't suspend them.
Yeah, you got nothing.
Don't suspend them. Yeah. And she was ignored. So with that as the backdrop, you know, we can't be overly optimistic about the Winston outcome, and Lee, and you're not.
No, I've been saying this for probably months that, you know, first off, Goodell is the judge, jury, and executioner. He had no problem going after Brady, even though Bob Kraft has all kinds of pull. Had no problem going after Elliott, even though Jerry Jones tried to Pearl Harbor his career, Goodell's career, as a result. So, and we both know the Glazers don't have that kind of pull. I'm not optimistic.
Steve, you think this environment that I'm talking about, Me Too movement and that kind of stuff,
yeah,
you think that works against Winston in this regard in any way?
Well, my biggest concern right now as it relates to this case and how it'll be handled by the NFL, this is just a personal thing on my end. I spend hours all night thinking about these things. If Jameis's accuser in this situation, the alleged crotch grabbing in Arizona, if she doesn't want to talk to the NFL, if she says to the NFL, look, I said my piece. I gave a full report to Uber. Everything that I'm going to tell you is right in there. We all saw the what went down. From my perspective, I'm not talking to the NFL. I have nothing to gain. So my concern is if she says, I'm not talking to you, NFL, I'm done. Who are you? Then the NFL has to make a decision without hearing from her and questioning her. And they will make a decision. And I think in that case, if they can't talk to her and find anything from her end, then I think Goodell's going to feel compelled to suspend Winston for at least a game based on, hey, whatever went down, you were in the wrong place, wrong time, doesn't look good for the league, Uber suspended you, and something happened here, we don't like it, and we're slapping you on the wrist. At the very least, I think something will happen, and if she doesn't talk, then the question is, how long do they wait for her to talk, right? They could, if she said, no, I'm not talking, they could wrap this up in a day. But do they wait a year? Do they let her talk later if she feels like, if she says, I'll talk to you next Christmas?
Lee, I keep going back to the Elliott thing. I think it was August 11th. August 11th. You know, that now the Bucks could appeal if they get a negative verdict. They could appeal. But, Lee, history shows us these appeals don't have a great chance of succeeding. The NFL is a juggernaut, Steve. And most of these appeals are futile. I think the Bucks would appeal, you know, as a last-ditch effort if it's a, you know. Depends on the timing. I'll tell you one thing. If he got a two-game suspension, I'm taking it right away. I'm not waiting. I'm not waiting until November.
Get it out of the way, yeah.
I'm getting it out of the way. And that's the worst case scenario.
Yeah, you got to get it out of the way. It's just it's a sad and slippery slope for these players because if she won't talk and they go to Uber and Uber talks to the NFL – and the NFL says we're confident in Uber's process and her. We looked into her records with Uber, and well, this is a bad look for the NFL. Jameis, something when you know we feel something inappropriate happened here, and here's a game.
That line from Goodell sticks with me, Ira. These things take time.
Well, I think Florio hit the nail on the head. Florio being Mike Florio, and
he's got the lawyer background.
Yeah, the creator, curator, and overall guru of ProFootballTalk.com. He said it's a PR issue, not a legal issue. And when the NFL has their ducks in a row and decides they want to have it resolved, they'll resolve it. I got to imagine when the next NFLPA contract comes up, I got to imagine this is going to be a huge issue with the players. Like, how can you suspend us when we're innocent? I got to imagine it's going to be a huge sticking point in the negotiations.
Look, we'll talk more about it, obviously, as we go on, although there's no end in sight to this investigation.
No.
We get no updates. Absolutely no updates. We'll see. Somebody said that they might update it at the May NFL meeting.
I heard something about that.
I told you that. What do you mean somebody? I told you.
You're somebody. they don't normally do that, Steve. They don't normally. Now, I think one of the interesting things is we'll see what happens. But if Jameis has to miss time over this investigation, even if it's not overwhelming evidence. They just rule. You got to miss time. How's this going to affect Winston's stature in the community? Will it? Doesn't it have to?
You answered your own question.
There's still some skeptics out there.
There are, and those people will never be won over. There's a friend of Joe Buck's.
What are the people, what about the people on the fence? I don't know about Winston.
Well,
you know?
What are you going to do? I mean, you're going to run him off because people on the fence, you know, 10% of the people on the fence? I don't know. No, if there's evidence, you know, like Ezekiel Elliott. Was he immature? Yeah. Did he do something untoward? Yeah. Was he overall innocent of what he was originally charged for? Apparently, yes. And I think that's you answered your own question. If the evidence is there and Goodell suspends him anyway, Goodell comes out with the black hat, not Winston.
And he better not show up at Ray J either, Goodell, if he
does
that.
Has he ever?
Well,
I know he went down to Bradenton when the Bucks trained at IMG, and it just so happened there was some meeting nearby.
He went to the Bartolo School a couple of years ago at a friendship for Eddie D.
Okay.
Yeah, and Brooks, and I was there. He didn't mention Joe Buck's fan at that appearance.
Super Bowl's coming. He'll be here at some point.
That's right. That's right.
All right. Final two, Ira. Final two. McGlinty out of Notre Dame, the left tackle. Gil Brandt says he may be a top 10 pick. Maybe he's pushing up. Do you see him possibly going to a Denver or affecting this draft, maybe heading out to the Colts?
You know why he's a top 10 pick, Lee? Because he's a left tackle. Yeah. That's why. Nelson's not a top 10 pick because he's a left guard. Nelson's a top 10 pick based on his talent.
Okay.
This guy should probably be picked between 15 and 20. I'm talking about the left tackle at Notre Dame. I was on a podcast with Joe Henderson months ago, and Notre Dame, I think, was going to play a big game against Miami, and I think Notre Dame got their ass kicked
week.
They got killed. But we had this guy from Notre Dame. I think he was the play-by-play guy. Sees every Notre Dame game.
Cricky?
All the plays. No, a radio guy.
Yeah, from
Notre
Cricky.
Dame. And
Cricky does radio for Notre
Dame. Not Don Cricky. But this was
a different guy. Okay.
Different guy. He's pushing Don Cricky.
No, Don Cricky does football for the Notre Dame.
Anyway, so we were asking him about Notre Dame and this and that, and they got a good running game, and he was going crazy over Nelson. This guy's a monster. One of the best I've ever seen come through South Bend. And he said, and the left tackle's pretty darn good, too, but he's not in the class of Nelson. That's what the guy said. He had no axe to grind. He works for Notre Dame. So I'm going to use him as my guide here, Steve. He's a left tackle. Everybody's dying for left tackles, whether it's Denver or whoever. The Bears, who picked right past the Bucks. But if the guy was a left guard instead of a left tackle, he would not be held in such regard.
Yeah, it's the reason I bring it up, Ira. It's an interesting dynamic because you figure, all right, everybody in the top 10 is studying their brains out on Nelson. So when you study a left guard,
he's right next to
you're watching the left tackle by default, and this guy's a good player to begin with. So maybe all this study on Nelson is driving McGlinty up.
I think that's a good way
and,
to put it.
And, I mean, we can all hope, as Bucks fans, that maybe he goes to the Colts.
Ain't going to be picked by the Bucks. You know what Jason Light has to say about Donovan Smith and Cutter, too. They're not happy with Donovan Smith.
They're not picking on left tackle.
Right.
No. Well, what I love about this season, I guess, Ira, we can close on this sage wisdom of yours. I'll even put away my paper. How about that, Ira? what I like about this, you know, the Bucks, you know, we're sure that they would, in a perfect world, they would like to re-sign Marpet. They'd like to re-sign Donovan Smith. They want to bring back Quan Alexander to a big contract. They want DeSean Jackson to be successful and bring him back for the third year of his contract. They want all these things, but they can't. Now they have enough talent on the roster where they can't pay everybody in a perfect world. So if I had to ask you, Ira, if the Bucks have a good season this year, and of course D-Jax comes back and this guy's everybody's coming back, who's the guy left out? Who's the guy who doesn't get the contract?
The guy I said 6 months ago, DeSean Jackson. DeSean Jackson doesn't get the contract for year three, but this year he can help him. And Dirk Cutter needs help, and Jason Light needs help on the scoreboard. And DeSean Jackson can do it. And if they win 9 or 10 games, DeSean Jackson will be phased out and dropped. And Godwin will assume that spot. And based on what I saw of Godwin, that's not a terrible thing. It's not a terrible thing. But this year, they need Jackson. They need a productive DeSean Jackson.
I'll clarify something here. Like you said, your guest was not Don Cricky, but Don Cricky very much is the radio play-by-play voice for Notre Dame football.
Outstandingly. Outstanding.
There you go. Are you saying they need Jackson? You sound like Jameis. Are you Jameis?
They need Jackson.
Did you hijack his Twitter account, Ira?
Get out of here, Steve.